Hi, this is Matt Kundle. This is number 0188, the Stuff File Program, with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File Program, number 0188. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File Program, you'll meet Kim Shannon, who is the founder and director of Good Girls Anonymous. Just how did Good Girls Anonymous come to be?
Good Girls Anonymous started because I have been writing a book called The Good Girl Addiction, and it is a companion course to that because I found with my clients that they needed extra help confronting or really looking at the rules that have kept them stuck and wanting to break through them.
Donna Spangler is a fitness and lifestyle expert in Hollywood.
It's important to be the best that you can be in order to get the best out of life. And that is a general rule, I think, for everybody.
Stuart Nullman is in with another edition of Book Banter.
Hi, I'm Stuart Nullman. On this edition of Book Banter, I review a visual tribute to the late Whitney Houston. So if you want to dance with somebody, stay tuned to the Stuff File Program.
And we have lots and lots and lots of stuff and, of course, an idiot of the day. The guest Slater, the person who told you this was show number 0188, was Matt Kundle, who is the program director at Power 97, Winnipeg's best rock. You can check out their website at power97.com. And thank you very much, Matt, for taking the time to do the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File Program. Sure, it was nice to hear your voice again. The Stuff File Program, by the way, is also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Well, one of the many decisions greeting Pope Francis, as Salon.com pointed out, is whether to officially recognize a patron saint of handgunners, as urged by a U.S. organization of activists for more than 20 years, of course. According to legend, St. Gabriel Pacenti rescued an Italian village from a small band of pillagers and perhaps rapists in the 19th century by shooting a lizard in the road, killing it with one shot, which supposedly so terrified the bandits that they fled. Now, no humans were harmed, activists now point out, signifying the handgun was obviously a force for good. The head of the St. Gabriel Pacenti Society has noted that, however far-fetched the lizard incident may be, it was rarely questioned until U.S. anti-gun activists gained strength in the 1980s. Well, the Lord does work in mysterious ways. Aaron Williams, 25, went to the Dayton, New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission to renew his driver's license. When it came time to take his photo, he refused to remove his head covering. MVC employees explained that it must be removed unless it's being worn for religious reasons. Now, Williams insisted that it was and wouldn't take it off. "I take it as seriously as anyone else when it comes to religious beliefs," he said. When he took out his own camera and started taking a video of the employees, they called the police. Officers told Williams that he had to apply to the state before he'd be allowed to wear the headgear for his photo, and Williams removed it. The head covering in question? A spaghetti strainer. Williams says he's a pastafarian, a member of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, which is a movement opposing teaching intelligent design and creationism in school. This could put a strain on his church life, I'm sure. It takes all kinds. Polk County, Oregon sheriff's deputies were presented with a perplexing case. A man found shot to death in a truck in a farm field with no evidence that anyone else shot him. Yet he wasn't holding the rifle either, as in a suicide. As they investigated, they learned that the victim, Genario Hernandez Mendoza, age 19, was the suspect in a nearby burglary. As far as detectives can figure, Mendoza stole several firearms in the burglary, but didn't check to see if they were loaded or if they were safe. As he drove across a bumpy field, one of the rifles was jostled enough to fire, and it was pointed at Mendoza. He was found dead the next morning. Criminal, punish thyself. And as I said earlier, the Lord does work in mysterious ways. Well, police are on the lookout for two men suspected of breaking into a Hooters restaurant in Rancho Bernard, California. Surveillance video shows the suspects driving a truck up to the front of the window, then one of them breaking the glass door. The driver then tried to back the truck through the door, which was too narrow. The men then wrapped a tow strap around the restaurant's jukebox, then loaded it onto the truck and drove off. Police believe the men mistook the jukebox for an ATM. Too bad it only dispenses quarters. You know, I could have made these two clowns the idiot of the day, but no, I didn't. But that comes later. Yeah. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, after Anokia Griffin, age 33, voted in Pompano Beach, Florida, she proudly displayed her "I voted early" sticker. Unfortunately, her next appointment was with her probation officer, and he noticed the sticker. After Griffin allegedly admitted to him that she indeed voted, she was charged with submitting false voter registration information, false swearing, and fraud in casting a vote. As a convicted felon, Griffin is prohibited from voting unless her voting rights are restored. A Florida Department of Law Enforcement investigation found that when Griffin registered to vote, she falsely stated on her application that she was not a convicted felon and that she was qualified to register. Well, let's give her some credit for not being apathetic like so many others who can actually vote legally and don't do so. But there you go. Anyway, let's get to our first guest, shall we? Kim Shannon is the founder and director of Good Girls Anonymous, an international coaching program for women who are ready to break the rules of perfectionism and people-pleasing. She's here to dispel the myth that good girls can't find Mr. Right. Kim joins us on the line right now from Colorado. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks for being on the program with us. So, first of all, how did Good Girls Anonymous start?
Good Girls Anonymous started because I have been writing a book called The Good Girl Addiction, and it is a companion course to that because I found with my clients that they needed extra help confronting or really looking at the rules that have kept them stuck and wanting to break through them.
Now, I mentioned in the introduction there are a couple of traits, I guess you could say, of the good girl. I mentioned perfectionism and pleasing, people-pleasing. What are the characteristics of a good girl that all good girls supposedly share?
So good girls grow up good girl. I really am writing the book and have started the program because I'm the quintessential good girl. And we grow up, and being a good girl, I just want to say first and foremost, is a really good thing. We are kind and compassionate and considerate. We have values. We are caretakers. We're amazing women. Where good girls can get caught is that good girls can be very hard on ourselves, and we can get addicted to things like second-guessing ourselves or having to be perfect or pleasing others or saying yes even when you really want to say no. And, you know, these things were modeled for us when we were little, and they weren't taught to be an addiction, but when they're overused or abused, they can take over.
Now, since you say you are a self-proclaimed good girl, and this is what you study and you write about, I'm just curious to know, are good girls usually at a particular spot in the birth order?
That's such an interesting question. I think I am first born, but I have clients who are second and third and sixth born, actually. So I don't think it necessarily matters where you fit in the birth order. It's what's expected of you and then also what you expect of yourself. So if you grow up or come into a family where your mom is a good girl and where your grandmother was a good girl, then those traits are kind of passed down the pike to you, and you will take them as you will.
Now, you mentioned that, or I mentioned initially that the good girls, they strive for perfectionism. And in the introduction, I said good girls are looking for Mr. Right. Mm-hmm. Isn't Mr. Right in himself a goal of perfection that might not necessarily be attainable?
Well, it's your definition of Mr. Right, Peter. So Mr. Right, in the way the media portrays Mr. Right, the hook of it is that this is the perfect guy. To me, relationships are about meeting your perfect guy, the guy who's going to fit with you and connect with you and be your partner and go through life, you know, enjoying each other's company and building a life together and thriving in that life. So that's what I mean by Mr. Right.
Why do you think the bad boys and the good boys alike sometimes fail to notice the good girl?
I think the good girls tend to, because we get caught up in having it be about other people, we tend to forget about ourselves, and that can lead to a low self-confidence and low self-esteem. And when you have low self-esteem, you tend to look down. You tend not to feel comfortable flirting. You tend to put up walls that don't allow you to connect authentically. And that's what the work is really about, is owning your power of an authentic, beautiful, amazing woman so that you can shine it out and then attract someone who is attracted to your light.
The good girl and subsequently the bad boy are typified in the media. Oh, I guess the best example would be Greece.
Mm-hmm.
So do Danny and Sandy match up to what you believe good girls and good boys are, or is that just a caricature of what you're talking about?
Well, I think it's a caricature, but if you look at Sandy's evolution throughout the movie, she started off as very prim and proper and, you know, within herself. She's very comfortable with who she is. And good girls are comfortable with who they are. But as she tried to fit in, she tried to change herself. And then in the end, she kind of went one way to the other and then back into a more balanced Sandy. She had parts of herself that loved black leather to begin with. And she loved her hair teased. It was just a matter of Sandy finding Sandy. I don't think in the beginning of the movie she was fully who she is. And by the end, she had balanced both her feminine and her masculine within her and was able to stand there and belt it out with John Travolta.
So how does one become addicted to being a good girl? And more importantly, how do you break free of that?
One becomes addicted to being a good girl when we are committed to other people's expectations. And that's really the crux of pleasing others and being perfect. So it's expectations in general. It's other people's expectations and our own. And it is this striving to attain what is external from us. And so we're always, as a society, we do this as well, as we're always looking for something outside of ourselves to fill ourselves. And the work is really coming back in and balancing and being able to say that it's okay to be me. It is, I'm okay as is. I am perfectly imperfect as a human being. And the first step of shedding the addiction to being a good girl is actually owning that you are a good girl and that you have great qualities, and that the qualities that you don't like so much, to stop pushing them off or holding them off at arm's length and begin to own the qualities that you don't necessarily like, because if you hold parts of yourselves at arm's length, then you're not fully being 100% authentic.
I know you primarily talk about women, but are the qualities that make up a good girl similar to the qualities that make up a good boy?
Good boys and good girls grow up with the same thing. We're expected to be good, and there are massive amounts of good boys who have confidence issues and want to please others, and they're looking outside of themselves for validation. There are inherent differences in how men and women stereotypically deal with life, so they're a different breed, but they do share similar qualities and similar characteristics.
When it comes to relationships, I've always found that the one thing that's definitely distinctly different between men and women are that women get into a relationship thinking that they can change or improve the guy, and the guy gets into a relationship hoping that the woman will never change, and both are wrong.
Totally. Totally. You can't change someone else, you know? That's just never going to happen. The only person you can change is yourself. And, you know, I was in a relationship several years ago. I was actually in two relationships, and this really spurred this work and really going inside and identifying the good girl and breaking free from what I call my inner glass ceiling is I was in a relationship with a guy, and I was extremely unhappy in that relationship. And yes, I fell in love with who he is, his essence, but there were parts of him that, oh, I so wanted to change, right? And there were parts of me that he fell in love with that he was like, oh, okay, she's just going to stay exactly the same. But we evolve as human beings. It's natural. And so that relationship didn't work, and it was good to end, and it was a great catalyst for me as a human being to take myself on in more ways. But yes, relationships, we have different, it comes down to expectations again, what we expect out of the relationship and what we expect out of the other person.
Now, I understand your book, The Good Girl Addiction, is coming out this spring?
It's coming out in the fall, actually.
Fall, okay.
Yeah, the Good Girls Anonymous program has been so eye-opening, and I have an amazing group of women that I'm working with, and each of their stories is so unique yet similar, and I've been learning so much that I've actually revised the book so that it's not just my story and the 12 steps that I went through, but it has the power of the community. And I think that women thrive so well when we have support from our sisters. And so I wanted to include that.
The book, I'm sure, is primarily, and the website is primarily for women, but can men learn a thing or two by delving onto your website or getting the book when it comes out in the fall?
Absolutely, because men are in relationship with women. Absolutely. You know, I truly believe that there are programs in me that I will create for men as well, but I had to start with women because I am one. And I think it's so important for women to take care of themselves, to be their best selves, to have the life of their dreams, and to be able to have that in partnership with their men. So men can definitely come to the website and learn more about their wives and their daughters and their girlfriends.
The website is goodgirlsanonymous.com. Kim, I thank you very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much.
Kim Shannon, founder and director of Good Girls Anonymous and author of a soon-to-be-released book called The Good Girl Addiction. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0188, and you'll find links to Kim's site.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander Show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey. Your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortunate if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of the Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
Coming to you from Canada, the land of universal healthcare, colorful money, and the correct spelling of the word theater. This is The Stuff File with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to a fitness and lifestyle expert from Hollywood. Plus, Stuart Nullman is here with another edition of Book Banter. And of course, there will indeed be an idiot of the day. But right now, more Stuff File news for your listening pleasure here on our program. Also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. A Cleveland woman and her 8-year-old son took on a home invasion and won by dunking the intruder's head in a fish tank, among other things. Jamila Sloan said the suspect entered her home and, quote, busted through my kitchen door. This is my house, she said. I was really in fear for my life, for my son's life as well. Police said she and her son, Chris Turner, pushed the intruder into the fish tank and was hitting him in the head. I was choking him and punching him and biting and scratching and doing everything I could, she said. When the suspect pulled his mom's hair, the son, quote-unquote, got really, really mad. Chris said, I got mad and started hitting him with the handle of my scooter. Cleveland police arrested Talbert Glenn at the scene, adding Glenn has a criminal record for drug and weapons possession. Okay, I know what the tree-hugging granola crowd out there will be saying right now after hearing this story. What about the poor fish in the tank? I hope they're okay. Oh, get over it. Anyway. Two teachers and three student teachers at a Windsor, Ontario elementary school somehow thought it would be a neat prank on their eighth graders to make them think that their class trip would be to Florida's Disney World, and they even created a video and PowerPoint presentation previewing the excursion. Yeah, the kids' exhilaration lasted only a few days when they were informed that plans had changed and they instead were going to be visiting a local bowling alley. Oh, the pranks, they just continue, don't they? Yeah. Furthermore, the teachers captured the students' shock on video, presumably to repeatedly re-enjoy their prank. Now, when the principal found out, she apologized, disciplined the teachers, and arranged for a class trip to Niagara Falls. Nice going, principal. Nice going. I wonder if the punishment by the principal was to arrange for the two teachers and the three student teachers to go over Niagara Falls in barrels. That would have been kind of fun for the students to watch, don't you think? Yeah. Imprisoned British computer hacker Nicholas Weber, age 21, serving time for computer fraud, hacked into the mainframe at his London prison after officials allowed him to take a computer class. Like most prisons, the ISIS facility attempts to rehabilitate inmates with classes to inspire new careers, but apparently no one made the connection between the class and Weber's actual crime. One prison staff member involved in the class was fired. Well, you know, that story comes under the heading of, duh. Well, okay, another episode of the Redneck Chronicles. Cue the music. Gary Erickson, age 46, was distraught in January at being charged with animal cruelty in shooting to death his beloved pet snake. He told the Charlotte Observer that he is not guilty, as the dear thing had already passed away and that he shot it only to get the gas out so that other animals would not dig it up after he buried it. He said he was so despondent, fearing that a conviction would prevent him from being allowed to have even dogs and cats, that in frustration, he had shot up and destroyed a large cabinet that housed his Dale Earnhardt collectibles. Yes, real life is slowly turning into episodes of Honey Boo Boo and Duck Dynasty. And that's your Redneck Chronicles. Yee-haw! Terry James, age 29, filed a lawsuit recently in San Diego against San Diego Christian College because it fired her for being pregnant and unmarried, a violation of specific employee rules. She said the firing was obviously illegal gender discrimination because her job was quickly offered to the next most qualified candidate, James's fiance, who was openly cohabitating with James all along and is the baby's father. Okay. This is a lawsuit that I can clearly line up behind. I mean, seriously, what an unchristian thing for a Christian college to do. Yikes. Anyway, we have time for one more story before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. And this is the latest edition of Armed and Clumsy, an all-new Armed and Clumsy edition. Yes, stupid people who are armed. And in this case, they all happen to be Americans, and as usual, they are all males, because women aren't usually this stupid. People who accidentally shoot themselves. Some of them are no longer with us, some of them are. Here we go. A 19-year-old man with an AR-15 assault weapon he had just stolen in Independence, Oregon. He's dead. An angler shooting salmon in Thurston County, Washington in October. He's still breathing. An 18-year-old man shot in the groin while cleaning his gun in Port St. Lucie, Florida in September, alive and embarrassed. A 59-year-old poor multitasker who tripped and fell holding his shotgun while talking on the phone to his girlfriend in St. Matthews, South Carolina in September. He has assumed room temperature. A police officer serving an arrest warrant shot in the buttocks in Mercer Island, Washington in November. Alive with a sore tush. A 54-year-old man at a gun show mistaken about whether his gun was loaded in Des Moines, Iowa in January. Well, he now knows it's loaded. A 22-year-old man showing off and flummoxed by whether a bullet was still in the chamber in Stamford, Connecticut in September. He's very dead now. And an 18-year-old man similarly flummoxed and suffering the same fate in St. Petersburg, Florida in January. No longer drawing breath. Every time I come across these stories, somehow the Benny Hill theme song just keeps playing over and over and over in my head. Yeah. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program, shall we? Donna Spangler is a Hollywood beauty, fitness, and lifestyle expert and author. Currently, Donna is also a big blogger for such sites as itsaglamthing.com, where she has both a written and video blog, and she blogs for lasplash.com and donnaspangler.com. Donna joins us on the line right now from L.A. Hi, Donna. How are you?
Hi there. I'm great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on the program with us. Now, we should go a little bit into your background. You wrote a best-selling book, How to Get a Rich Man, The Princess Formula, which came out in 2007. You're a former Playboy model. You're also an actress. So it is important for you to look your best at all times.
Absolutely. It's really important, especially where I live. I live in L.A., and there are many, many beautiful women out here. So you just have to really make sure that you look your best at all times. I mean, you know, you don't always look your best in life, but at least try to keep yourself fit. And being fit means being healthy. So you want to be fit, and that will help you in your health aspects, which I think are the most important things. And when you're healthy, you tend to look better and you feel better, too. So you present yourself in a more vibrant way, and you people can tell when you're happy. So those things go hand in hand, all of them. And one of the things that I write about in my book is that it's important to be the best that you can be in order to get the best out of life. And that is a general rule, I think, for everybody.
The reason why I brought up your background is because, again, as you mentioned, you live in L.A., and it's, you know, the land of the beautiful people, and it's the place where people have to look a certain way because the motivation is it's their livelihood, it's their job. And I'm just wondering, as someone who is a fitness and lifestyle expert, is it sometimes difficult to motivate, you know, the average person who doesn't have to look the way you look for a living?
I think that in life we really all want to look our best. And I think that especially if you're a woman who's, you know, had a couple kids and, you know, you look around and you want to look your best and you want to feel your best. So I think that people strive to look as good as they can as a rule. I don't think people wake up in the morning and say, hey, you know, I want to look, you know, frumpy and not good, because if you don't look good on the outside, I mean, I'm not saying you have to look like a model or some kind of imaginary figure, but your personal best. And we all know what our personal best is. And we all know if we're, if we have things that are not making us happy, then, you know, you work on them. And that usually is getting your whole body fit. And I think that's really important, not only for your physical aspects, but for your mental and emotional aspects of your life. Because as we well know, and I wish this wasn't so, but people treat you the way they look at you first, because that's the first thing that they see. And so as a result, they will treat you a certain way depending on how you look. And there are studies that have shown that people that are more attractive get better things out of life. And that's not the whole thing in life, to look perfect or anything like that. But you want to look your personal best. You want to feel your personal best. And then you can feel good about yourself. And I think as whole things in your life get a little bit easier. But if you're the kind of person who has let yourself go, which a lot of us in life have, and that's, you know, sometimes we do, then you just get back in there and try to turn those clocks around and work on the things that you need to work on, not more for your health and the way you feel inside, because the way you feel inside is going to project certain things on the outside as well. But I think you have to work on both of those things in order to get to your personal zenith in life, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but you mentioned that everyone knows what their personal best is. Is it not possible that, you know, over time, some people may have, quite frankly, forgotten what their personal best is? How do you rekindle that?
I think so. I think, though, that what happens is if a person has gotten away from their personal best, then if they start on some sort of exercise program and a good diet, a good healthy diet, not a starvation diet, a diet where you're eating the right amounts of protein and vegetables and healthy things, cut out the sugar and the salt if possible, then and the diet, you know, sodas and all that, I think that if they see results, then it motivates people further. So I try to tell women out there that they need not to give up, and they need to just keep on going. And, you know, there'll be times when you're not going to eat properly, or you're not going to exercise, or you won't be able to, or you won't have the time, or whatever, life happens. But if you consistently try to do make time for some exercise and some stimulation, I think that's a positive thing in life. And, you know, you have to have a little bit of everything in life. Of course, you have to have a little socializing, some exercise, try to keep your diet healthy, and mainly, you know, try to keep yourself healthy and on track, and your life will be better. Because I know that whenever I'm depressed, and everybody gets depressed now and again, if I do a good workout, it helps. I mean, it might not completely alleviate everything, but boy, if I do it consistently every day, after a certain period of time, I'll be like, wow, this is great. You know, I feel happy, and I am a happy person as a rule, but you know, it's just a really good thing to do, to exercise. It lifts your endorphins, and it does all kinds of really great things, and it even, I think, helps your metabolism and your brain functioning. That's what I was listening to on PBS the other day, that your exercising has something to do with halting things like Alzheimer's and dementia. A brain expert was talking about how if you exercise, I'm not sure of the quantity of exercise, but I usually do it 1 hour, maybe four times a week or more if I can. So it helps your brain function is the bottom line. So if you want to have your overall health to be positive, that's just a great thing to do.
Now, I mentioned the website, which is donnaspangler.com. What will people find when they go there?
They will find a video. They'll find some pictures. They'll find just a lot of different information about me. Also, if they want to go to follow me on Twitter, it's at Donna L. Spangler. And I have two Facebook pages. I have a fan page, and I have a friends page, but I'm over the limit on that. But you can follow me on that page as well, and I put up a lot of pictures, and I try to let people know what I'm doing in my life, because I do a lot of different things. As I think I told you, I have cats that I rescue. I'm doing a show called The Donna Spangler Show. And I'm also doing a movie in a few months that's a zombie movie. So as an actress, I produce too. So I'm just always juggling something. I don't like to keep myself not doing anything creative. And so I try not to put myself in a box. But I'm a person who's always going. And if I don't exercise, if I don't treat my body well, then it would be impossible for me to do all the things that I do, and I have fun doing it, and so there you have it.
Well, Donna, thank you very much for being on the program with us. Again, people can go to your website, donnaspangler.com, to find out more information. A reminder, your previous book, which came out in 2007, How to Get a Rich Man, The Princess Formula, and I understand you're working on a new book as well. I thank you very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Thank you so much, Peter, and have a lovely evening, and hope to talk to you again sometime soon.
Fitness and lifestyle expert Donna Spangler. You can visit her website at donnaspangler.com, and you can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0188, and you'll find links to Donna's site. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. Northwestern University Law School in Chicago is considered one of the best law schools in America. Many of the top students in the country apply there, but only one out of every five are accepted. Despite its popularity, the law school recently announced it is cutting the size of its incoming class by 10%. Why would it do that? Well, many people in the legal industry believe that there are simply too many lawyers for the number of jobs today. In fact, three law schools in Chicago have already been sued by former students who said they couldn't find jobs after graduating. The students claimed that the schools overstated the likelihood that they would get a job, so they sued to get a refund on their tuition. Let's be fair, so far most of these lawsuits have been dismissed. However, it does beg the question, even as law schools cut enrollment, will they consider adding at least one thing? A class on abusive lawsuits like these? Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamerica.org.
Latitude, 47 degrees, 14 minutes north. Longitude, 84 degrees, 39 minutes west. Location, Montreal, Canada. This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's time to crack a spine. The Stuff File presents Book Banter with Stuart Nauman.
Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And once again, he's just flipping pages. Just flipping pages. It's Stuart Nullman with Book Banter. Hi, Stu.
Hi, Peter. At least I'm not flipping mad, so let's be grateful about that.
There you go. There you go.
You remember, Peter, back in 1974, a song by the Righteous Brothers called Rock and Roll Heaven?
Yes. If you believe in forever, then life is not is just a one-night stand.
Yeah, and if it's rock and roll heaven, then you know you got a hell of a band.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, if they would have done a revised version of this song, unfortunately, yes, there are more names to add to it. And I think one of those names they probably would have added was Whitney Houston.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it was over a year ago that she tragically passed away at the Beverly Hills Hotel before the Grammy Awards. You know, and with all the controversy aside that was connected with her final years, which was highlighted by her toxic marriage to singer Bobby Brown, the late Whitney Houston was a true music superstar, and her hit records like I Want to Dance with Somebody, How Will I Know, and I Will Always Love You, I think that song, that was like a trademark song, remain in the conscience of her fans and those who enjoyed pop music and ballads during the 80s and 90s. However, her physical presence, beauty, and sense of style were just as memorable as her distinctive singing voice. And photographer Randy St. Nicholas, who worked with Whitney and directed the video for her hit I'm Every Woman, worked in conjunction with the Whitney Houston Estate to produce a beautiful visual tribute to her life and career with the attractive coffee table book, Whitney Tribute to an Icon. Combining over 130 photographs that were taken by 22 photographers over a period of nearly 30 years, St. Nicholas has captured the essence of Whitney Houston, the superstar, instead of the tragic figure. There are photo sessions, video shoots, live concerts, and candid shots that show the many faces of the development of Whitney Houston as a singer and personality. Like, for example, there's her playful aspect as she is hanging up a room full of platinum records for the cover of her greatest hits CD. There's a movie star in the making on the set of her 1992 hit movie, The Bodyguard. There's her pulsating patriotic performance of the Star Spangled Banner at Super Bowl 25 in 1991. There's the superstar diva on the concert stage, wowing audiences in South Africa, London, Chicago, New York. And there's one of her final photo shoots that took place in Atlanta in 2010, in which her later years may not have been kind to her, but Whitney still showed the exuberance and playful enthusiasm that was prevalent nearly 30 years before.
Was that from the movie Sparkle?
No, not from... This was not. It was unrelated to Sparkle.
Okay.
So basically, this is a time when she entered the music scene in a major way, you know, 30 years ago. So she still had that exuberance, even during those final years. Now, the photographs in this book are larger than life and showed not only her beauty and talent, but also her human and vulnerable side. Basically, this is a celebration of Whitney Houston the way she is meant to be celebrated, not as a tragic victim of celebrity and fame, but as a major talent whose music helps to keep her legend alive.
You know, it's almost sad that there are certain icons of film, television, and music that you can't imagine being old. And in those cases, they never will be.
Yeah, and it's like, whether it be in a classic movie or a hit song, they will always be, you know, that person during that time or that age. They will always, basically, time becomes immemorial, if you know what I mean.
Right.
It preserves them the way they should be remembered.
Now, I know I often ask you the question, before you finish with this, let's mention the title of the book and the publisher and the price.
Yeah, it's Whitney Tribute to an Icon by Randy St. Nicholas, published by Atria Books. It's $47, but a very beautiful book, actually.
Now, I know I usually ask you if there's something else in a similar vein that people can take a look at, but before we get to that, I figured it's important to bring up, have you seen or read Clive Davis's new book?
Yes, actually, I just finished it. Funny you should mention that. I just finished it today. And it'll be subject of a future Book Banter review.
Okay.
And there is a chapter on Whitney, and which he admits that it was a very difficult chapter for him to write in that book. And it's very introspective of how he wanted – I mean, he saw this talent in the making when she was in her teens and realized the troubles she was having and tried to get her focused. And most times he succeeded, and there were times that he didn't. But it's one of the highlights of Davis's autobiography, actually.
Okay, so I'll ask you about that on a future show. We'll discuss Clive Davis's new book, which is just out, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's called The Soundtrack of My Life.
Okay. So now, back to the original question. Are there any other books in this vein that people can read?
Well, the one, like I said, I was going to recommend was Clive Davis's book, because if there was one other person who would have known Whitney Houston the best, cites Sissy Houston, who also just put out a memoir of her daughter, which I recommend as well. Here, I mean, it's Clive Davis. And that chapter really stands out. And if you haven't read it yet, I recommend it, not only just for, you know, his times with Whitney Houston and developing that talent, but also a great insight look at what the record business was like, you know, from the 60s up until today. I mean, he's still doing it. He's still around. Yeah. But for Whitney Houston fans, yes, read Clive Davis's book, especially that chapter on her, and also Sissy Houston's memoir about her life with her famous daughter.
I know you recommend all three books, but, you know, I don't know. I just get a feeling, with the exception of Clive's book, after the death of Whitney Houston, same thing with after the death of Michael Jackson, you end up with a lot of people who are trying to cash in on the situation. And I feel in this case that Clive is not the one trying to cash in, but that perhaps maybe the others are.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, but that's just my gut feeling.
So I think that's anyone who wants to read up on Whitney Houston or any other dead celebrity, pardon the expression, should be very selective of who writes that book. And maybe they should say, you know, realize, you know, sometimes it could be a good good memoir, a good biography, but, you know, some may just be, it's exploitative. So I think readers have to really be careful of what book they want to, not about the subject matter, but who wrote that book.
Right. Okay, so again, the Whitney Houston book is called?
It's called Whitney, Tribute to an Icon by Randy St. Nicholas. Once again, it's published by Atria Books, and it's $47.
And how can people find you, Mr. Nolman?
Well, you could find me in print at the West End Times. It's published every Saturday. Or if you have an iPad or if you want to read me online, you could do so at www.westendtimes.ca.
Thank you very much, Stu.
You're welcome, Peter. And I'm no diva, I'll tell you that.
You're not. Yeah, Stuart Nolman with another edition of Book Banter here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
The Stuff File.
And we're almost done with this edition of the Stuff File program. We have, of course, an idiot of the day coming your way, but I've got a few more Stuff File news stories to share with you before we wrap things up on a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. A new Albany, Indiana teen is in jail, accused of stabbing his father after he told his son to pull his pants up. Cody Burns, age 18, faces a charge of battery by means of a deadly weapon. Police say Burns stabbed his father in the chest with a knife during an argument at their home. The father is expected to be okay. Burns is also being held on a $75,000 bond. I tell you, if he ends up going to jail, I'll bet he'll want to keep his pants pulled up real tight then. Heck, he'll probably want to keep that belt tab somewhere just below his nipples. Yeah. A pregnant woman in Seattle allegedly used a stun gun to attack a bike messenger in a fit of road rage. The incident happened just after 11:15 a.m. last Friday when the bike messenger was passing through a crosswalk. When the cyclist was in the middle of the crosswalk, a car pulled up, stopped abruptly, and honked at the messenger, who kicked the car, yelled something, and tried to move on his way. However, when he reached the passenger side of the car, a pregnant woman got out and approached him. The woman allegedly pulled a stun gun out of her bra and tried to attack the messenger. He tried to get away, but his alleged attacker gave chase and soon caught up with him and hit him twice in the face. The driver of the car also got out, wielding his own stun gun, and also hit the messenger several times. The messenger wasn't seriously injured in the incident. Police are investigating. The names of the messenger and the alleged attackers were not released. Wow. Do you think tasers will be the next version of gun control, like Gun Control 2.0? And just out of curiosity, do you know any women, pregnant or otherwise, who keep stun guns in their bra? Just asking. Yikes. What's going on in these areas? Anyway, on to Valencia, Spain for our next story. A taxi driver in Spain dropped off two suspected robbers he picked up to police after hearing their description on a radio broadcast. Now, the taxi driver picked up the two suspects just after midnight Saturday in Valencia. Shortly after the suspects got into the cab, the driver heard over the taxi headquarters' internal radio system that another taxi driver had been robbed at knife point. I'm assuming he's wearing headsets, because I would think that the passengers would hear this, unless, of course, they're just oblivious to what's coming over the loudspeakers. Assuming it wasn't the loudspeakers. Anyway, a description of the attackers who robbed the victim of all the money that he had that night matched the description of the two people in the back of this driver's car. Now, without telling his passengers where he was driving, the driver headed to the scene of the robbery, where several police officers were still investigating, and the suspects were immediately arrested. The suspects, two Spanish men, aged 33 and 45 respectively, allegedly committed three robberies on the same night. During one of the other robberies, the two allegedly hit a driver in his head using the driver's headrest. Yikes. Okay, now that cab driver, the second one, he's really one cool, collected dude, I gotta tell you. Just quietly dropping them back off at the scene of the crime around where cops are going to be. Well played, my friend. Well played. Sounds like something our pal Peter Franklin the Gabby Cabby would do from New York City. Yeah. Have I mentioned this program is heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio? You know, there's about 15,000 shows now that you can hear on Stitcher Smart Radio, and climbing literally every day. And if you haven't downloaded the Stitcher app, you can do so by going to Stitcher.com. It's a completely free app. It's quick and easy to download. You can find it at the Stitcher App Store. Download it. As I say, it's free. It just takes a couple of seconds. And by the way, during registration time, you can hit the promo code box and enter Stuff File. That's STUPHFIL. And that gets you automatically entered to win $100. Does that sound good? Yeah, I'm sure that does. The latest episode of the program, of this program, the Stuff File program, will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand with no syncing, no downloading necessary. It's Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. And again, 15,000 shows waiting for you at Stitcher.com. If you just download the app, okay? Don't forget, when you download the app, enter the promo code for this program, STUFFFILE, that's STUPHFILE, when you register, and you have a chance to win $100. There you go. Now, what do we have left to do on the show? Oh, yes! It's time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the Strange Things Adults Do. The STUFFFILE presents the Idiot of the Day.
A Kearney, Nebraska man is in jail for writing a bomb threat on a job application. With good time, Jason Dornhoff could serve 22 days in jail for making felony terroristic threats in July. Dornhoff, age 38, was also placed on 4 years probation earlier this week at Buffalo County District Court. Now, back on July 5th, Dornhoff filled out a job application at a restaurant and wrote a bomb threat on the back of the application. Kearney police arrested Dornhoff at the restaurant. The investigation found Dornhoff had been using methamphetamine earlier in the night. Now, you got to ask the question, why would anyone write a bomb threat on the back of a job application? Well, in this case, there are two reasons. One is the meth, but the reason for using meth is the same reason as the second one, and that basically is, he's an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0188. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0188. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as PA Holder. And don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Media and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. Bye-bye! We'll be right back.
been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. While it may be an enjoyable, pleasant experience, some side effects may occur. Listening to Peter may cause bloating, drowsiness, Tourette's, web feet, or an oily discharge.